Okay, so welcome to Module 3. I'm going to talk very quickly. I find that I do talk quickly in these teaching recordings because I want to teach you the maximum amount possible, but I do understand that short is good in terms of I don't want to overload you and I don't want to be talking and blithering on for hours and hours, so I'll keep things succinct and to the point, but I'll have to talk quickly so that I can give you the maximum amount of value. Which reminds me of one of the hypnosis trance phenomena. We talked about trance phenomena last time, and I think I mentioned time distortion, and there is that idea that time isn't necessarily just the physical measurement of time, there's also what you do with time. You can slow down time so that a very small amount of time can seem like ages and ages in your imagination. It's definitely possible to do that. One of the ways we measure hypnosis when we have a client is often they say, oh, it doesn't really feel like I was hypnotized. It felt very relaxing and very lovely, but it wasn't really I wasn't really hypnotized. I felt exactly the same. And then we say to them, well, okay, if that's true, how long do you think you had your eyes closed for? And clients will often say, oh, 5 minutes. And then I'll point to the clock, or we'll point to the clock and show them, and they're like, oh, half an hour's gone by. Because sometimes 5 minutes can seem like half an hour, okay? Think about when you're having a really wonderful time. Think about children. They go to parties. They have a wonderful time. Now, if you were at a party and had a wonderful time, maybe you could have been there for 2 hours and it's time to go home and it feels like you only just got there. It can be like that in a conversation. You're having a conversation with somebody and they're so interesting. You're having such an interesting conversation that again, an hour can seem like 5 minutes. And that's time distortion. It's a very hypnotic experience. You know, when you go to a party, you're in a party hypnosis. When you're in an interesting conversation, the rest of the world doesn't matter. Everything gets blocked out. You become very focused and you go into the conversation, as it were. Time distortion can work very much in the opposite direction. If you're very bored, if you're not enjoying yourself, if you're doing a job that you're not enjoying, then, you know, you keep looking at the clock and it just seems that every minute seems to take hours and it all goes in the opposite direction. It's a horrible thing. Think about somebody who doesn't like going to the dentist. You know, hypnotherapists, they deal with a lot of clients who have a fear of going to the dentist, and they display this trance phenomena, this time distortion in both ways. When they're waiting to see the dentist, the time goes very, very quickly and it seems it's like parachuting out of a plane. The ground comes up very quickly and they can't believe how quickly the moment of torture arrives as they see it. But then once the dental treatment begins, everything slows down and it seems to take forever. So it's very interesting you can use that time distortion, and it's something to be aware of. Although you might listen to your self-hypnosis recording, the actual practical recording, the Module 3 recording, which is about health and wellness and vitality, although it might only be 20, 25 minutes long, whatever, you can use that as an experience that will feel as if you've had hours of health and energy and refreshment. You can really do that. And this has been measured scientifically, that in hypnosis, you can gain the physical energy, the health and energy benefits. You know, half an hour of that kind of thing can be just like you've had a whole night's sleep. Everybody knows you can sleep all night but feel rotten in the morning if you've been worrying about things or if you're not well. But in hypnosis, just half an hour, if you do it properly, if you give yourself that time and really switch off and go in on your journey, your hypnotic journey, half an hour really can give you the physical benefits and the mental benefits, the emotional benefits of having had the best night's sleep ever. So don't forget that. That's how valuable this stuff is to you and your health and your well-being, your wellness. So just to summarize with the whole time distortion thing, this is a different model of time management. This is a different way of looking at how you can organize your time and use your time. It doesn't just have to be, as I said earlier, that physical measurement of the passing of time. Think of time as much more as being something that's full of hypnosis, full of emotion, full of imagination, full of fun, full of all these different positive emotions and positive energies. If that's how it is, then you're going to have all the time you need. You're going to be able to get so much done. I know this from people who run businesses that they love running, or they do jobs that they love doing. they can get so much done in an hour, in 2 hours. It's remarkable. People who fill their time with negative emotion in terms of boredom, unpleasantness, fear, pain, worry, anxiety, you can't get anywhere near as much done because you're spending your emotions doing other things, and so you don't get the rewards of time. So, you know, back to the comparison, some people who are really enjoying the work they do, they can get an awful lot done in just a couple of hours. Someone who hates their job, is really not enjoying their job, it may take them 40 hours to get less done than the other person did in 2 hours. They've both got the same amount of time, they've both got the same amount of time available, it's how they fill it. So are you filling your time that's available to you, are you filling it with positive emotion, positive energy, possibilities, fun, things you enjoy doing, natural flow of your energy? Or are you filling it with worry and doubt and boredom and a feeling of not being in the right place or not doing what you should be doing? Because the choice you make with how you fill your time, energy and emotion-wise, will basically dictate how efficient you are, how good your time management is, how fulfilled you feel, how much value there is in your time. It's just something that's worth thinking about. First thing I want to talk about now is how hypnosis is... I've told you this before, this definition of being nature's gift to humanity. It's not something that's fabricated or constructed, it's already there, okay? Fair enough, you may construct a trance experience, you may construct a hypnosis journey of your own, something unique that you do, that you a journey that you go on, an experience you enjoy. It might be completely unique, but the actual process of hypnosis is something very natural. The reason hypnosis is so good for health is that you're just tapping into something that you already have. Your body, your mind already have this ability to heal. You see someone, when someone's had an accident or a traumatic experience, they go straight into deep hypnosis. They become very suggestible and they're able to give themselves suggestions to remove pain, to lower pain, to dissociate, in other words, to step outside of the experience. So that they don't have to feel the feelings, they don't have to feel the trauma, feel the other bad stuff going on to them. They can step outside, and it's something that we do naturally. Paramedics, you know, the people who are the first on the scene in medical emergencies, have always been trained. They've been trained for years to understand that you mustn't make negative suggestions in front of somebody who's had an accident, because they'll be very suggestible. There's no doubt whatsoever, go and check these facts, you know, there's no doubt whatsoever that people in a dangerous medical emergency or something like that, if a paramedic is heard to say, oh, I don't fancy their chances, or they look like they're in a bit of a mess, bad things might happen, okay? Whereas if someone says something positive like, you're going to be fine, you're going to be fine, this will be okay, don't worry, we'll soon get you fixed, that's a much more positive suggestion. Okay. In hypnosis, you will pick up on suggestions, and if you choose to believe them, you can make them happen for you. So it's just an example of how hypnosis is very natural, but at the same time, you want to choose the suggestions that you give yourself. And if somebody else gives you a negative suggestion of whatever kind, whether it's a comment on your appearance or a comment on your abilities or what you're capable of achieving, you want to decide whether or not you're going to plant that seed, because if you do, that could be dangerous. Okay, if it's positive and you choose to plant it, that would be wonderful. I want to tell you or remind you of a story, and this really epitomizes for me the value of hypnosis when it comes to health, the value of the power of the mind and of suggestions. And it's a famous racing driver. You may have heard of the racing driver Ayrton Senna. Now, Ayrton Senna was one of the greatest Formula One Grand Prix racing drivers of all time. Some say he was the best, some say he was one of the best. But certainly he was the one who really epitomizes the image of the fast living racing driver. He had this kind of playboy image. He was good looking, he was glamorous. He was flamboyant, he was very, very risky. with his driving, very fast. And he just had the image. He had everything. And something that a lot of people don't know about Ayrton Senna is that the people in his home country of Brazil, a lot of people there believed that one day he would be the president. He didn't just have this dangerous young racing driver thing going on about him. There was something deeper. There was an intelligence. There was a greatness. There was something that people believed that one day he was going to be the greatest president ever of Brazil. He was going to be, you know, a hero of the nation politically as well as just as a racing driver. You know, two great things. But tragically, he died. He died very young. He died on the track. And the connection here between Ayrton Senna and between what I'm teaching you about hypnosis is the idea of the miracle cure, okay? Hypnosis is not necessarily the best thing to use for a miracle cure. It has far, far more value used earlier in a process. For instance, as prevention, as protection, as something that protects you from harm, something that prevents you becoming ill in the first place. It strengthens your immune system. And it does. There's a lot of evidence to show that when you use your mind properly, you can boost your whole immune system. You can do all kinds of wonderful things. Now, a very close friend of Ayrton Senna's was the Grand Prix track doctor, a guy, I believe he was called Sid Watkins. Now, Sid, the chief Grand Prix doctor, medical expert, could see in the days leading up to Ayrton Senna's death that he was stressed, he was anxious. There were all kinds of bad things going on in his life, apparently. He was having a little bit of a crisis, or a big crisis, and all kinds of things were going wrong. And Sid made a suggestion to Ayrton Senna. He said to him, "Ayrton, why don't you just take the weekend off and go fishing?" Okay, I'm paraphrasing, but it was more or less those words. "Why don't you just go fishing?" And he was worried about Ayrton. He thought this guy is not in his right mind. He's not in the kind of frame of mind where he should be driving cars at however many hundreds of miles per hour around racing circuits. He told Ayrton to go fishing, and Ayrton didn't. Ayrton chose not to take his advice. Now, later that weekend, when Ayrton Senna crashed and was sitting there in his car, mortally injured, he was in a deep coma, Sid, the medical doctor, was the first on the scene. He was one of the first on the scene. And he knew straight away that it had all gone tragically wrong. And, of course, at that point, with all his great and wonderful medical expertise and all the team of doctors and surgeons and everybody else, there was nothing they could do. It was too late. The point of intervention was earlier. It was days before when he told him to go fishing. The reason I use this story is, again, the combination with hypnosis is that it just shows that if you can make the changes when you're healthy, when you're already healthy or when you're doing okay, if you can start to make changes in the way you think, the way you feel, the way you use your mind to create healing, to create inner strength, inner wellness, a lot of the stuff that can happen later in life, a lot of the things that can go wrong, are so much less likely to go wrong. A lot of people I know, I've run a hypnotherapy training school for many years. I have 4 training centres here in New Zealand, and I used to train hypnotherapy many, many years ago in the UK. And I've taught so many people this stuff. And in hypnotherapy, what a lot of people want to do is they want to fix problems that have already occurred. They want to heal people who are in a position of pain and suffering and illness or what have you. And that's fine, you know, that's worthy and that can happen, and hypnotherapy is a fantastic tool for doing that. But it's so much more magical, it's so much more amazing if you can use the hypnosis process, the self-hypnosis process, when everything's okay, you know, or perhaps when you're a little bit stressed or a little bit anxious or a little bit under the weather. If you can get in early and start to use these interventions, you really are absolutely protecting yourself for the future. It's like money in the bank that is accumulating compound interest for your future health and success. And I hope you take this idea on board, because for you it could be such a wonderful thing, and you can also inspire other people with this. You'll be able to help other people to think the same way. The next thing I want to talk about is choosing beliefs. This is a very quick story, but it will explain a lot of the strategies that we use in the self-hypnosis recordings that you're using and internalizing. This idea that beliefs aren't necessarily something that happened randomly, you can actually choose them. In fact, through life, we choose pretty much all of our beliefs. And it's depending on our family, our culture, our society, our temperament, our interests, all kinds of things that combine to allow us to choose what we believe. It all starts with who you are. If you believe you're a healthy person, if you believe you're a fit, healthy, strong person, all kinds of other beliefs will cascade from there. So my question to you today, as you use these hypnosis recordings and as you build this resource, this set of resources for yourself, my question is, what beliefs are you choosing for yourself? It's very difficult because beliefs go so deep, they're so powerful, that we actually forget they are beliefs. Most people don't start sentences with "I believe that." They start sentences with telling you facts, telling you truths, telling you how it is. And that's fine if you say something like, you know, the world's a wonderful place. That is a belief stated as a fact. We call them beliefs stated as facts. That's a pretty good one to have, okay? But if you turn around and say, you know, the world's a pretty miserable place, the world's, you know, pretty messed up, really, well, that is not a fact. That's a belief stated as a fact. And it runs deep. And I want you to think about this idea of choosing every belief. I developed this system with my clients of teaching them when they had a goal, an outcome, something they wanted to achieve, maybe they would say, oh, I want to write a book, okay? And their goal would be to write a book. And then they would say, no, I didn't write it today. No, I didn't write it today. I didn't do any writing today. I got busy. And when I questioned them, I'd often find my clients would say things like, oh, it was just too difficult. There were too many other things on. I got sidetracked. I procrastinated. And so I said to, you know, I got into the habit of saying to my clients, well, you know what? Why don't you make it a two-step process? Okay, rather than trying to write your book tomorrow or write a chapter tomorrow or write a few pages, whatever your goal is, why don't you put a stepping stone in? Okay, you can take giant leaps. People think giant steps are impossible. Giant steps are incredibly possible as long as you put in some little stepping stones. Because at the end of the day, if you take 10 little stepping stone steps to get to your giant step, you've still taken a giant step. You just did it incrementally, which is fine. Sometimes we can make incredible giant step changes in an instant because we have some insight, we have a breakthrough, an epiphany. But sometimes you just got to break it down. So I found myself saying to my clients, why don't you, instead of trying to get this thing written tomorrow, why don't you work on building a belief that getting your work done is going to be easy? Because you know what? If you choose a belief that your work is going to be easy, or that something you used to think was difficult is going to be just so easy, then it tends to flick a switch which changes everything, and before you know it, the work just gets done. Okay, we're back to that strategy of creating a different environment. Creating an environment where a certain thing is easy, and guess what? Once you're prepared to choose that belief, it's like you've switched on a different filter in your mind, a different filter of thinking, and the thing just gets done. And I think that's quite magical. I want to tell you about a conversation I had recently with my daughter. Again, I apologize if I've told you this story before. I sometimes do repeat stories. Usually there's a different context. Usually there's a reason why. And I was having this conversation with my daughter over breakfast. And my daughter's 5 and a half, and she didn't used to eat eggs. And then suddenly, one morning, we're having breakfast, and I noticed she's got eggs on her plate. She's eating scrambled eggs. And I said to her, I didn't realise you ate eggs. When did you start doing that? And she said, oh, I don't know. It just kind of happened. And I thought, well, that's okay. I suppose that's something that happens. And the funny thing was, the thing that makes this story so amusing was just there was this pause, and I could see her thinking. And she looked at me, she looked at my plate, and I had some spinach on my plate. And she said, Daddy, when you were a little boy, did you used to like spinach? And I said, no. And she said, oh, So when did you start liking spinach? And I said, I don't know, it just kind of happened. And she grinned at me and I grinned back. It was the funniest thing. And it really does highlight this point. I mean, think about this yourself. Can you think of foods that when you were a young child, you didn't used to like those foods? But now, as a grown-up, you do like those foods. My challenge to you would be to remember the exact moment when you decided to choose to like those foods. Because it's a very good bet that you won't be able to remember it, and it just kind of happened. And that's the thing, is we choose these beliefs, we choose these things that we like, things that we don't like, and we really do it while our conscious mind is busy doing other things. It's kind of a dream machine thing, you know, it's the subconscious mind that's making these decisions all the time. So, wouldn't it be nice if you started to choose some really positive beliefs in yourself of what you're capable of and what you could do and what you could achieve and things you used to think were impossible? What if you just decided to believe that actually they could be possible? You know, a lot of people give up on their dreams very early in life and they don't need to. And, you know, life changes, we get older, we find ourselves in different situations and the dreams from years ago might not be appropriate anymore, but they could be. And what's wrong with having new dreams? But the key is, if you're going to have new dreams, you have to choose the beliefs to go with them. Never does this apply more than with your health. You have to choose the kind of lifestyle that you're going to achieve. You have to choose the kind of fitness levels you want. You have to choose the beliefs about how easy it's going to be for you to become motivated, to overcome procrastination, to do all those kinds of things. Now let's talk about habits, because after all, when you behave in a certain way or when you think in a certain way, when you do that again and again and again, and eventually you achieve what we call unconscious competence, you just do it without thinking, well, wouldn't that be called a habit? You know, something we do again and again, but you don't have to think about doing it, it just happens. That would be pretty much the definition of a habit, whether it's something you're doing or whether it's something you're thinking, because in many ways our thoughts are our behaviours. Our thoughts certainly shape our behaviours. I think you would certainly agree with that. So let's talk about habits. Now, you know, there are people who believe that if you do something and you do it a certain amount of times, maybe 7 times or 14 times, or you do it every day for 2 weeks, that somehow that is going to create a habit. And I disagree with that. I just don't see habits as being like that at all. I think you can develop a habit pretty much instantly. But by the same token, there are certain things you could do them every day for the rest of your life. They would not become a habit. Think of it this way. If you went to the gym to work out, you know, to become fitter and healthier, but if you hated the gym, but somebody made you go to the gym every day for, let's say, 30 days... don't you think at the end of those 30 days, when you were free to make your own choice, don't you think you would probably choose not to go? You know, I don't think you can force yourself into having a habit. Again, it's this unconscious choice, just like the spinach, just like everything else, you know. Certain people believe that they're capable of incredible things and they tend to achieve them. Now, let's look at the other side of habits. Let's say you'd never been to the gym before and you went for a visit. You went to have a free day at the gym. And you absolutely adored it. It was the best fun you'd ever had. You felt wonderful. You loved the environment. You met some special people. You were treated like royalty. You came out feeling amazing, completely refreshed. It was the best thing you'd ever done. Don't you think that could become a habit very quickly? Don't you think you could make the unconscious choice to make it into a habit? Don't you think that could happen very quickly? So we have to once again combine this desire and belief, the two strands, into one thing in order to really achieve the outcome we're looking for. Okay, you think of it as being like two flowers entwined. One flower is belief, one flower is desire. You entwine those two flowers and you have a very strong entity. That's your outcome, the habit that you want to build. Often with healthy habits and healthy lifestyle and fitness habits, people struggle to make them stick. And I can guarantee it's because one of those two strands has been neglected. Either they don't really want it enough, or they don't believe it's possible, and so the two things have to be worked on together. Think about the habits you want to instill. With my clients, often when they want to become fitter and they want to exercise, maybe to lose weight or something like that, they talk about how they don't really like going to the gym. And they've got themselves trapped into this thing. We all get ourselves trapped into these funny beliefs where the only thing you can do to get fit is to go to a gym. The truth is there's hundreds and hundreds of options of what you can do to become fitter, to build, you know, your exercise routine, your energy levels, your fitness and stamina levels. And, you know, some people, if you like, for instance, if you like solitary experiences, if you love your own company, then jogging early in the morning when everybody else is asleep, seeing a world that nobody else sees, that could be a magical thing for you. A lot of people love jogging because they can visit and discover all different places by changing their running route every day. Some people hate being by themselves. They crave company. They love being with others. You know, you probably should be choosing a team sport or dancing or something like that. There are so many things you can do. And as soon as my clients realize they don't have to go to the gym or they don't have to take up running or swimming or something like that, they have all these hundreds and hundreds of choices, they suddenly realize getting fitter and healthier could be a lot of fun. Could be a choice, again, an unconscious choice. And you see that shift. I bet you've had that experience where something shifts inside of you and something you used to believe was difficult or limited suddenly opens up into all these pathways of possibilities, and you feel that epiphany inside you, like, wow, something just changed. I can do things differently. I have all these opportunities, possibilities that I just didn't see before. It's like having a new map, really. So just to summarize on habits, because habits are such a big thing of what we're trying to build with self-hypnosis, they shouldn't be forced. They should always be chosen, always chosen on some deep level. Just to summarize, think of it this way. If you walked into town every day and that walk from your home into town was, let's say, 5 miles, okay? So it's a 5 mile walk. If you walked into town every day and somebody hit you on the head with a stick or somebody called you a nasty name, do you think if you did that every day for 30 days that it would suddenly become a habit? You know, like some people would have us believe that's how you build habits. My guess is absolutely not. However, if you walked into town every day for, you know, 5 or 6 miles, whatever, and there was somebody in the middle of town there to meet you, and they gave you $1,000. They gave you $1,000. Okay, they give you a big envelope full of money. Don't you think that if you did that every day and they were there every day giving you the envelope stuffed full of money, don't you think that would become a habit pretty quickly? And you become a lot fitter and healthier at the same time. So again, it's that intertwining of desire and belief in what's possible. Next thing I want to talk about is the mind-body connection. How you think is how you feel. If you have a powerful mind, you're likely to have a powerful body. If you think you're fit and healthy and you imagine yourself fit and healthy, your body will respond to those thoughts. There's something we call in the imagination, in the world of metaphor and stories, creative imagination, creative visualization, self-hypnosis. In fact, there's something we call isomorphism. Okay, isomorphism. What is isomorphism? Well, I believe it comes from mathematics. One of those technical words I'm going to throw at you occasionally, these words, but don't ever worry. I may give you technical words and technical expressions, but I can promise you, anytime I do that, the concepts that underpin them, the concepts that they represent, are very simple concepts. Okay, and this is a good example. Isomorphism in mathematics just means one thing that means something else. In metaphor, it's the same. In self-hypnosis, it's the same. So you imagine a certain colour that, you know, let's say the colour blue. And if you imagine that colour and it makes you feel relaxed, or if you walk into a room that's painted sky blue, it makes you feel relaxed. That's isomorphism, okay? That's how the mind thinks of a certain colour and the body responds to it in a certain way. Isomorphism. We do it with music. You know, we listen to a certain kind of music and Our imagination tells us that's relaxing music, and our body responds, our breathing slows down, all kinds of incredible things happen. And we do that in self-hypnosis. So you might imagine yourself in a lovely place, a beautiful blue cloud, a blue mist of energy and relaxation descends over you, and suddenly you find you're breathing differently. Suddenly you find your whole body's slowed down. Everything's changing, okay? And I'm just introducing you to isomorphism here. I've got a lot more to talk about, let you know, later on, but I just want you to think about how you can use that as a strategy. In the self-hypnosis recording for Module 3, you'll notice that I use the colour healing strategy. You know, using different colours of the rainbow, or all these, you know, unlimited different colours in the universe, that you can use those colours to bring on certain feelings in your body, which will allow you to improve your health and wellness and vitality. Another way you can do this is what we call the flower remedy strategy. You know, it's something I came up with years ago to help a certain client who really loved the idea of flower remedies. And they'd never tried it, but they thought, what a wonderful thing, different flower essences and aromas or whatever, these would help you in certain ways. And I had to say to this client, well, I don't know which flowers are responsible for which therapeutic effects. So I said, but this is what I do now. I understand self-hypnosis. So I taught this person how to close their eyes, go into hypnosis, and go to a beautiful garden. This client of mine had a wonderful visual imagination, and so they could go straight into self-hypnosis, and basically they could just take charge from there. I was like a guide. So I guided them to this beautiful garden, which they then created. Okay, if I told them what their magical garden was like, I would be taking away the magic. I wanted them to create it. Okay, so I asked them to tell me which flowers they could see. And my client said to me, I can see roses. And I said, okay. Now imagine picking up a rose or standing next to a bed of roses and take a deep breath and notice how you feel. And you know, what does that do for you? And my client said, it makes me feel very strong, like my heart and my soul have got great strength and character. I feel powerful in a really good, loving, wonderful way. I said, great. So let the energy of those roses, the colour, the energy, everything else, let that go into you, become part of you, so that you feel stronger and stronger and stronger within. And that's isomorphism, because of course you can pick all the different flowers you want, and each flower will mean something to you. So when you go into self-hypnosis and go to a special place, why don't you think about the one thing you need more than anything else? Okay, the one thing you need more than anything else, and find a flower or a colour, or a piece of music, or a certain feeling in a certain part of your body that allows you to create the change that you need. Okay, so that's what I've got for you today. I was going to talk about the three natural laws of hypnosis, but I'm going to move those to the next module, because I think with isomorphism and this idea that you can think about one thing and it creates a change in your experience, in your physical experience and your results in life, I think that's a big thing to think about, isomorphism. Imagine if you had a mascot, you know, a certain cuddly toy that was your mascot that brought you luck. You know, perhaps a certain cuddly toy, you keep that in your pocket and it means that you become lucky. Or imagine a certain tattoo. You don't even have to go and have the tattoo put on your body, but imagine you had a tattoo. And when you think about that tattoo, what tattoo would you choose? What image would you choose? And what would that do for you? It's like a photo of a loved one on your desk at work makes you feel proud, makes you feel motivated, makes you feel that you're working for a reason. This is all isomorphism. So spend some time thinking about that. Spend a lot of time using the self-hypnosis recording that comes with Module 3. And I'll be back with more teaching and some really, really powerful self-hypnosis training and ideas for you very soon.